please stand?
Find a hymnal there, turn to number 67 in the hymnal. Number 67. 497. 497. Mary Elizabeth Bell, age 62, of Crossville, Tennessee, passed peacefully at her home October the 30th, 2014. She was born January the 6th, 1952, in Crossville, Tennessee, the daughter of James Herman and Ethel Lawson Tucker. She was a true and devoted Christian lady who loved the Lord with all her heart and all her soul. She was a member of Lantana Grace Church, where she served as church secretary and as her husband's right hand. She was also a proud member of the DAR. She had a green thumb, loved her flowers and yard work.
Music and genealogies were two other interests she truly enjoyed. Most important was her family and grandchildren, whom she loved more than life. Her huge smile and comforting words will be cherished in all the hearts of those who knew and loved her. She is survived by her husband, Donald Bell of Crossville, Tennessee, her father, James Herman Tucker of Crossville, Tennessee, son, James Michael Bell, and his wife, Paige of Knoxville, Tennessee, daughter, Fatina Lynn Rash, and her husband, Jeffrey of Crab Orchard, her grandchildren, Josh and Dylan Rash, and Amy, Aiden P. Bell, and great-grandchildren, Riley Rash, Bentley Rash, and Kason Rash. Little Kason. She was preceded in death by her mother, Ethel. Let's pray. Our gracious and merciful and wise and eternal Father in heaven, we still our hearts before you this afternoon to offer nothing but praise and honor and glory unto your name. We bow to your sovereignty. We bow to your providence. We bow to your will. Your God alone. There is no other God beside you. We address you this morning, this afternoon, as our Father. You've sent forth the Spirit of your Son into the hearts of your children, crying, Father, Father. And we dare not this day refrain from calling you our Father. If you're not our Father, then we have no Father. For we deny all others. Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who is Himself very God, our Savior, we bow before you in your presence. We bless you that you are our access, that you are our door. Continually, we have access unto the Father by you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Blessed Holy Spirit, the third person of the Sacred Trinity, we lift our voices to you, the giver of life, the revealer of Christ the Lord. We bless your holy name for your presence here this afternoon. We do pray as we come here to worship that you'd give us grace. Give us grace to submit, to rejoice in your will. Bless and uphold this dear pastor, this husband, this dad, this grandfather. Bless him and uphold him as he comes in a few minutes to preach your blessed truth to us. O triune God, our God, we bless your wonderful and great name. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Donnie and Mary Bell's son, James Duke, will come now and speak for us.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Bruce is a dear friend of our family. I've known him as long as I remember knowing things. It's been a while, so thank you very much for that. And his mom was no ordinary lady. Leave it to the power to go out, and Bruce is raising his hand in prayer for the power to come back on. Should be no ordinary funeral for no ordinary lady. I'm James, and I am humbled and strengthened by everyone here. And if I start crying, I just want to make a funny face, so it'll get me back on track a little bit. But she loved to brag on people, and I know she, for whatever reason, she loved to brag on me, and I'm humbled by that. But it's time for me to turn the tables and brag on her a little bit. Most everyone here knows her very, very well. We've got a very close-knit church community here, and I'm blessed and honored and humbled by having some of my coworkers that invested the time to come here today. some of her friends from various churches all came here today, so that means a ton. But time to turn the tables a little bit. You know, there's a certain bond between a mother and a son, and ours is a special bond. This woman meant the world to me, and she was giving me guidance, advice, pestered me, you know, and whenever I would go down the wrong road, which I did a time or two or seven, she'd always be the one that would give me guidance and bring me back home. But, you know, there's a certain vernacular you have that me and Mom had.
Yeah.
Some people call it baby talk or whatever you want to call it. I can't really get into specifics because I have coworkers here. Because I do have to go back to work on Monday. But we had a certain vernacular that was very, very precious that... And I heard she said some of those words even in the last few days before she'd be out, and she'd say something and it just would pop back up, and that just, you know, you'll remember that forever. I tell you, as a son, when you get in a jam, you call your mom. You know, something I saw recently, the D-Day remembrance of this last year, there was this great thing, another thing that made me think about my mom. This gentleman who, you know, one survivor out of a boat of 16 sailors, you know, marching toward the beach, and one guy survived, and, you know, he goes, "I heard death. I heard people screaming." 17, 18, 19-year-old boys, you know, you think, you know, who they're calling for, they're all screaming for their mom. Everyone wants their mother in times of need and challenge, and I don't have mom. She's gone now. I'm blessed with this amazing man right here. Strength is not strong enough a word to describe him. But we're going to go back to Mom, Dad. So, but yeah, when you get a jam, and I tell you, growing up in the country like I did, you tell from the accent. I don't know what happened. I moved away in it. I don't know what happened. But when you grow up in the country, you know, you don't have, as a kid, you don't have the wisdom of age and things to realize, you know, the sacrifices your mom and dad make for you. And, you know, Dad had, you know, pastoring a church, had cattle, farm, lots of things going on. Mary Bell, and I was a pretty active kid. I kept them busy. I didn't like to sit still. I was always going to SGA or football practice or this kind of something all the time. And, you know, we didn't live in a suburban neighborhood. Those of y'all who've been down to our house, it's go down the hill, turn left, third barn on the right, turn right. You know, it's way down there. So, the moral of that story is, you know, it's not easy to play taxi, you know, and she did it. I know, and I didn't know because I was too young and stupid to realize it, but she'd sleep in the car while I was at practice because it was too far to go back, you know, and those sacrifices, those countless sacrifices she made, you know, and she had a lot of firsts with Mom. This is a segue into one of our very important things, music, but Dad was out of town my freshman year of high school. And it was Tuesday night. I mean, it's family night, so that means the movies are half price. Mom was frugal. Those of you all know Mom. And so she knew that I loved Prince. Purple Rain was my... I loved that tape. It was awesome. And I talked her into letting me go see Purple Rain. I go, "Oh, my friends are seeing it." And, you know, I didn't tell her it was rated R. So Mom's like, "Okay, let's go." We went to town, went to Pizza Hut, went across the street to the movie theater. And those of you all have seen Purple Rain, I was a 13-year-old kid at the time. I couldn't look my mom in the eye for 3 days, you know. But Mary Bell took me to go see Purple Rain, and sweet, one of many countless memories. And that segues into music. We were talking about that this morning at Dad's house, how music brought Mom and Dad together. And it brought now my wife and I together, too. It's a common bond that we have, and it's a very powerful, powerful thing, the love of music, and what a symphony, and what a life-changing and emotional aspects that music can play in all of our lives. But boy, Mom loved music, and she had her taste that, you know, if you didn't like them, then you must not have good taste in music. My son reminds me now there's no such thing as good taste in music. There's chocolate, vanilla, and butter pecan, and everything else in the world. But Mom always, I grew up with music. It was an important part of my life, and it still is. And she always took an interest in what I was listening to. You know, it never ventured too far off of Van Morrison in our house growing up. But when I'm in college, she's always, plus I couldn't rub two nickels together, and she's always like, "What are you listening to? I want to see what you're listening to, see if she'd like it or not." But I remember I lost some CDs, and for Christmas one year, she was like, "Hey, there's this new thing called Napster. I can rip you some CDs." Awesome. So I gave her a list of like 10. They had dial-up. And I, knowing now, I'm like, oh my, I thought about this week. I wonder if she made me 10 CDs. That had to have taken 300 hours. But she did it. She did it. I mean, who knows how much sleep she lost. And they were all in order. And some of it, she's like, "I don't know what you like about this one, but I made it anyway." That was Mom. She didn't get mad at me very much. I was a pretty good kid until I left Crossville and I lost my way a little bit. But she never got mad. One time she got mad at me. I lost her Otis Redding tape. And she reminded me of that for 15 years. Mom, she's like, "Well, don't let that get too far. Remember you lost that Otis Redding tape?" So she kept on reminding me of that. And one of many, many memories. In my junior year of college, I lived in Hilton Head, South Carolina. They came down as their first of many, many trips to Hilton Head. And we went down to the quarterdeck down. And then, so there's this brother who played in the band at the quarterdeck. A lot of fun, full energy. And, of course, I went down there with him. I thought, "Hey, I'll meet my mom and dad down there. Okay, friends, I'll meet you out later." Well, I tried to keep up with them dancing. And I gave up. I had to leave. Do you realize how humiliating it is for a 20-year-old not to be able to keep up with his mother? And that went on for many, many, many years. But just as symbolic of this woman right here, the musician, the brothers, I forget their names, they become friends with them. She met somebody, and she was this personality of glue that just stuck. So she can't just go listen to the music and then leave. Mary Bell has to, befriend the musicians. And then she has such a magnetic personality, they think they're out on the boat. And then they become friends for 10 years. That's Mary Bell. I had an email this week. A lady sent me something on a message on social media. It says, "You don't know me. I met your mother in Utah 2 years ago." Ended up being the trip that, we discovered her cancer on that trip. And she goes, her and her husband were listening to music. And we started strapping up a conversation. And I felt like I've known her my whole life. And, she can't tell me. And she was proud of you and all these things that just, make your heart explode. But one last, just kind of wrap this thing up. I could be here all month, and it's only November 1st. There. I just read a book called Outliers. I highly recommend it. A guy named Malcolm Gladwell. It's about people who overcome overwhelming circumstances to have some type of success. And my mother, most of you, she had my sister, Fatina, right here in the front row, looking beautiful, at 16 years old. She had me at 18. My dad went off to Vietnam. And if you look at that, it's like, man alive, what chances do they have to look around you and have a life and the quality of a life? I looked up the stats. It's 8%. 8% if you have a teen mom that's still married after 40. And that's no ordinary marriage, by the way, either. I'll get to that. But this another outlying thing about Mom. She visited all 50 states, 10 after she was diagnosed with cancer. Oh, if we should all live like Mary Bell. How many people in this room have been on stage at Madison Square Garden? Right here. How many went to the very first Jimmy Fallon show? And theirs is no ordinary love. You don't see Mary without seeing Donnie. You don't see Donnie without seeing Mary. So, whereas I come from good stock. I really come from really, really good stock. But finally, I mentioned Van earlier. I came back from school one year, and I was DJing. I had like three jobs, a lot of jobs. I was DJing, and I remember on her birthday, I played her a song by Van the Man, her favorite, Queen of the Slipstream. And I encourage anyone who has not heard that song, you have to listen, because she was my queen of the slipstream, and I loved her so. Thanks.
Coming here this afternoon. Thank you on behalf of Brother Donnie and the children and the grandbabies and this church. Thank this church for all your support. I just want to say something a few minutes concerning Mary's death, specifically concerning Mary's death. In Psalms 116 in verse 15, this is speaking of Mary's death. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Well, the Lord doesn't pull any punches with us, does He? He won't deceive us. He won't hide realities from us. Mary was a saint. I mean, she was called to be a saint. She did no miracles. She was called of God. She was washed. She was justified by the grace of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a saint, but she's died. You and I have come here today to pay our respects to a vital portion of Mary Bell, her body. She's died. It's appointed unto everybody once to die. In Adam, all die. That's the living reality, isn't it? And I tell you, in our sight, I feel so blessed that Brother Donnie asked me if I would come down. I thought, what an honor. What an honor to be here with you. But I tell you, I witnessed a humiliating reality. When I saw Mary, when I saw how frail she had become, and as Donnie and I watched her day after day gasping for breath, I thought, what a humiliating thing death is in our eyes. It took this beautiful woman. If you want to see a beautiful lady, you go back and get some pictures of Mary when she was a teenager and follow her through her years, and she was a very beautiful lady. I told her that. I tried to always tell her in your presence because she was so attractive. But you know something? And she would laugh if I told her this. She looked more like me. And that's not a good thing. She had no hair. Her face was all wrinkled up. She was gasping for breath. In my eyes, in her husband's eye, what a humiliating thing. Death severs two unions. Mysterious as they are, death severs these unions. In her womb, her body and soul was united together. What a mystery that is. But in her death, that union was separated. Her soul, her spirit, left her body. And that union of husband and wife, God joined together a number of years ago, has now been severed. She'll never be your wife again. You'll never be her husband again. What a humiliating thing death is. How it burdens our souls in our eyes. And if it was left for us to judge of death, what a heartbreaking thing it would be. But my text says, how precious in the eyes of the Lord. Death was humiliating. It was a humbling thing in our eyes, but not in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. This word precious, it means of great value and worth. Highly esteemed. Is there a way that you and I can value the death of Mary Bell in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, listen to this. This word is used in several places in the Scripture. Let me give you three places. You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Who can begin to estimate the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? How precious is it to your guilty conscience when it's washed all your sins away? How precious is the blood of Jesus Christ to God the Father? If you can begin to estimate the preciousness of the blood of God's Son, then you can begin to estimate the preciousness of the death of Mary Bell in the eyes of the Father. There's another place this word is used in speaking of the words of God Himself. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. How precious is he to you, child of God? You can't estimate it, can you? You cannot tell it out. You cannot think it out. You cannot imagine it out. How precious Jesus Christ is to your soul. He's worth more than all the world. All people in the world. More important than you yourself is Jesus Christ. How precious is He to the Father? I tell you, there's not a worm that wiggles through the dirt, but that God has determined that worm is going to wiggle for the glory of His Son. God has put all fullness in Jesus Christ. He's given all preeminence unto Him. Every man lives and moves and has his being. The sun rises and the rain falls for the glory of God's dear Son. God looks upon him and he says, Son, I love you. You're precious to me. If you and I can begin to estimate the preciousness of Jesus Christ, his glorious person, then we can begin to estimate what it meant for Mary Bell to die as Jesus our Lord looked on himself. There's another place that talks about this word, and listen to this. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. How many times has your soul been sinking, dear saint of God? How many times have you been walking in darkness and you're so confused? And in your sinkingness, there was something got underneath you and stopped you from sinking and lifted you up and set you on solid ground. And what was it that got underneath you? Promise. A precious, precious promise. That's how precious. That's how precious Mary Bell's death is in the sight of the Lord. Let me read you one more passage right quickly. Another familiar passage in Revelation chapter 14. And listen to this. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. We have a precious death, and we have a blessed death. You notice how these verses are qualified. Pious saints, those who die in the Lord. He's not speaking of everybody, is he? No, if you're here this day and you're not in Christ, and you die, your death will not be precious in his sight. You die outside of Jesus Christ, you'll not be blessed. It's those who are in Christ who are blessed. And I'm not here today, and the pastor will not come and give you some hope that Mary Bell had based upon some decision that she made 40 years ago, or the power of her free will, or some choice that she had made as a child, as an adult. Mary Bell is blessed because God, before the foundation of the world, set her aside to bless her.
Yes.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Why can we say this is a blessed death? Because God blessed her. He chose her to salvation before she had a being. He wrote her name, as it were, in the Lamb's Book of Life before time. And he set her aside to be redeemed. Oh, what a blessing redemption is. You know why Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God, took upon him our humanity? For Mary Bell. What a representative she has. That's why she's blessed in her death. When Jesus Christ came from his mother's womb, there's Mary Bell. Born that holy thing. When he walked and then was obedient to his Father's will, when he fulfilled the law and magnified it and honored it, he did that for Mary Bell. Mary Bell did that. When he hung upon Calvary's tree, suffering for sin, all the shame and the awful wrath of God, and when he says it's finished, Mary Bell's sins were gone.
No, no.
They are no more. Why? God blessed her. And in her lifetime somewhere, I'm not for sure if she even knew, but the Holy Spirit came to her heart, burdened her with a knowledge of her awful shame and sin and fall, and revealed Jesus Christ to her heart. Give her life. Implanted in her bosom his graces of love and joy and peace.
And boy, from then on, she began to labor. Labor from this wretched body of sin that she was in. And now she has entered her eternal rest. She's blessed. One more passage. This is a wonderful passage. Philippians chapter 1. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die is gain. For me to live is Christ, is to suffer. But to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. I know not. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul spoke here of two things he would gain by dying. Two things he would gain by dying. One, he's going to gain in something he loses. What was it? This body of sin.
Yeah.
I have a desire to depart. I have a desire to die. Paul, why would you want to die? Mary had that desire, did she not? Desire to depart and to be with Christ. Why? Here's what Paul said. He said, I've thought a good thought. The time of my departure. You know what that word departure means? The time of my release is come. Release from what? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? When the Lord saved Mary, she began to labor. Labor against sin. Labor against self. Labor, she looked to Christ. And the desire of her heart from the very beginning was this: who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, Wednesday night, her release came.
Yeah.
Her release came. What a gain by what she lost. I bet if you asked Mary Bell this, Mary Bell, when did you begin to sin? She said, I have no idea. When did you quit sinning? When she drew her last breath. Oh, what a gain then. Sin and sense is gone. It's left behind. I love it where the Lord Jesus left his grave clothes in the grave, don't you? Lazarus came forth from the grave. He was bound. Had a bound, and I don't know how he got out of the grave. He was bound with a napkin, couldn't see. Mary has left her grave clothes right here. She can see. This is the second thing he gained by death. And this is what Mary has gained: to be with Christ. There's no elapsed time when she closed her eyes and breathed out her last breath. It didn't take her long. She opened her eyes, and who did she see? Christ. I wonder what she's doing there. She's with Christ. Is she sitting at His feet? That's where Mary sat, wasn't it? But you know, I bet she's higher than that. I bet she's leaning on His breast. That's where John leaned. I bet she's higher than that. I bet she's looking at Him right in His face. I bet He's smiling at her. I bet He's kissing her with the kisses of His mouth. Oh, what she gained. What has Mary Bell gained? She's gained something that she longed for and could never attain. She's with Christ, and she's free now to worship Him and see Him and know Him as she desired to in this life and never was able. Oh, what a precious death then. What a blessed death. What a desired death. Mary Bell has died. The Bourne sisters are going to come at this time and sing for us.
In Jesus, the Father, we trust.
really admire your pastor. And the more I see how he loves and preaches, the more I'd love to be like him. Well, you talk about until death do we part through suffering. He's a good pastor. He's a good husband. And your pastor is going to come at this time and preach for us, Brother Donnie Bell.
My wife planned everything. She planned everything. She never left nothing. She planned the clothes that she wore. She hung them up months ago. She planned her gardens. She planned her children's life if she let them. She planned everything, but she didn't plan to get sick. She didn't plan to be devastated by an awful, awful disease. She didn't plan for God to come and put her to where she just would rather die as live. She didn't plan on getting down to skin and bones. She didn't plan on not being able to breathe. She didn't plan on somebody having to take care of her, wash her, clothe her, feed her. She didn't plan on none of that. But God did. And God does all things well. God does all things well. When she was 15 years old and I was 17, I saw her across the room. We went out, second date. I said, we're going to get married. She said, you're a fool, you're nuts. Well, she was 17 and I was 19. We got married. 45 years. Wonderful life. And I've often said, if anybody had a better life, enjoyed living more than me and Mary Bell, I've never met them. I've never met them. And she loved living. Oh my, she loved to live. And she loved to take care of people. But as much as she loved to take care of people, there was a man who took it upon himself before the world ever began to take care of her. Take care of her. Take care of her sin. You say, me and your wife was a sinner? You know what she said so many times in the last 3 months? A preacher friend of mine asked her, said, Mary, what you hope? She said that I'm a sinner. And Christ Jesus came here to save sinners. They said, this man ate us with sinners. Well, he ate with Mary Bell. But he loved her. You think I loved her. But me and her knew, we knew from the day we married, from the day we learned the gospel, that our relationship was temporary. I would leave her, she'd leave me. But no matter what separates us here, one thing we're never separated from, and that's from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're still one in Christ. We may not be joined in the flesh anymore like we were, but we're still one in Christ. We're still united to Christ. And I tell you, and I'll say this and I mean this with all my heart, when she drew her last breath, I thank God, I bless the Lord, and I praise Him. She left this world And the first thing she saw was the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first breath that she had without struggling, she breathed heavenly air. She breathed air that me and you don't know nothing about. And there is two books in the Bible. And I'm not talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's the book of the generation of Adam, who was made in the likeness and image of God. And then he began to beget sons in his own likeness. And you read a little while and said, and he died. Read another verse or two and he died. Another verse or two and he died. But there's another book, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Nobody dies. Nobody dies. Mary didn't enter in, my sweet Mary, my baby, my love. She didn't enter into life when she died. She entered into life in Christ before she ever left this world. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I know my sheep, and I've known of them. And he said, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, for my Father which gave them me is greater than all. And I tell you right now, she had eternal life before she ever left here. She just began to leave everything behind that hindered it. You see, when we talk about life, we're not talking about this body. We're talking about what goes on in this world. There's another world. There's another realm. There's another place. There's another time. There's another person. And that blessed person, when he comes to you and loves you and elects you and chooses you, sets his affections on you, and he comes after you, he's not going to be satisfied until he conquers you, loves you, and brings you to where you love him and you need him more than anything else in this world. And that's what was with Mary. Needed more than anything in this world. Am I going to miss her? Yes. Would I bring her back? No. She was pretty, as Bruce said. She was pretty, as Bruce said. I tell you, I can't deal with all the things I want to deal with, but I tell you this. As Bruce said, she's pretty. I thought I married the prettiest woman I ever laid eyes on in my life. And I told God I never backed up from that. She was the prettiest woman I ever met. She's pretty in more ways than just physical. Oh, she's beautiful woman. But as beautiful she was here, can you imagine how pretty she is right now? Can you imagine how beautiful she is right now? Todd, could you imagine what she's like? Could you imagine that poor frail body? What it's like? And all the kisses she gave me, all the kisses we've had over the years. A couple of days ago, I just kept kissing her and kissing her and kissing her. She said, that's enough kissing. Didn't you? That's enough kissing. I said, Doogie, come get you some sugar. Josh, come get you some sugar. Dylan, come get you some sugar. And she said, that's enough kissing. No. Now, she's, Bruce said, she's enjoying the kisses of her blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, blessed be the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Father, thank You for taking her. Thank You for loving her. Thank You for choosing her. And thank You for letting me have her all these years. Thank You, Lord. God bless His holy name. Oh, I bless Him and I praise Him. Mary, my sweet Mary. Can't say goodbye because she's not here. I told her goodbye before she's gone. The same night, you know, she raised up and she said, "Hug me, hug me, hug me." I'd give this world all sin. I'd hurt her one more time, but I can't. But I'd take somebody to hug her up real, real close. That's our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus. You hugged her. He's hugging her close now. And listen, I'll stop. Thank you all. If she had any idea that all these people were here, all this many people would come, all this many people sit around here. Thank you for loving my baby. Thank you for every kindness you ever showed her. Thank you for every prayer you prayed. Thank you for every meal you fixed to take to her. Thank you for everything you did for her. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I thank the Lord for you. Girls,
burial will be at Thomas Springs Cemetery. Then immediately after the burial, you who would like to, there will be a dinner here at the church.
Pat,